Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work. I've got Kate Mathis on the show today. Hi, Kate.
What's up, guys?
Thank you so much for joining me. Let's, as always on The Work, start off with how you and I first intersected, how self-management for actors came into your life.
Quite the long haul journey this is going to be. Okay, so I discovered you via Judy Kerr. I was subscribed to her email list, and I was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, and Atlanta, Georgia at the same time. And I got an email saying Bonnie Gillespie is offering an online course in self-management for actors. And I believe I had your book like in an Amazon wish list because it hadn't been in any bookstore I had encountered. Southeast, get on it. But that was back in 2012. And so I saw it and my gut reaction was gotta take this because I was feeling pretty lost. I was working as an actor in the Southeast and primarily at the time as a model. And I was just sort of feeling lost as to where I was going in my path. And suddenly your course appeared. And so I enrolled and was welcomed into the beautiful SMFA community. And then you and I might have done a one-on-one, yes, mm-hmm. Skype coaching.
That would have been in like November, December of 2011 as a part of that course, I think. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So for sure. The Something More program. And so we talked and you were doing an in-person seminar in Orlando. And I said, okay, I want to go. And so I took an Amtrak train to Orlando and attended the seminar, which was awesome. And I still remember everyone who was
there.
That was
a good class.
I remember Tony Robinette loves T-Vana. JC. There were good people.
It was an amazing.
It was a fun time.
Yes.
Ray. Yeah, it was a great time and super inspiring. And yeah, I called Keith for the first time then, you know. So I was welcomed to the community in person in Orlando. And then you and I did a one-on-one session in person for the first time in Orlando. And that's when shit got
I was
real.
So afraid. I'm gonna tell you something you don't know. I was so afraid that I was saying things that were going to piss you off and send you out of the SMFA world because I really put on some tough love talk, if I recall, and I was like, oh, she's either gonna get that she needs this or this is now and never again. I wasn't sure.
Well, I wasn't sure either. So, I mean, when people call me on my shit, I assume most people feel this way. They're just like, got me red-handed. No. So basically I remember you and I had a conversation, which is going to tie into what I value the most, from SMFA and still am working on, which is the launch at 85%.
Love that one.
Principle. And yeah, well, thank you, Bon. But I basically remember talking to you and you had brought up in our one-on-one session, have you ever thought about moving to Los Angeles? And I said, oh no, I can't do that. I'm afraid to fly. And you said you choose the size of your baggage. It can either be small or it can be very big. And I'm all about empowering the archetype of the bag lady physically, but as a person internally, okay, yeah, that made no sense, but it made sense to me, so it will make sense to somebody else. Basically, yeah, you called me out and were like, what about LA? And I was like, my ultimate dream, I can't do that. And you were like, why not? So you're afraid to fly. There's other means to get to LA. And I had never had someone empower me that way, because I immediately stopped thinking about all my limitations, all the negatives, all the reasons why what I truly wanted couldn't happen, and started thinking solution oriented, and started thinking, okay, like someone says this can happen. And now I would like to think I wouldn't need external validation to let me know that. But as a younger actor, that was super empowering to me. And so after Orlando, I basically was like, I'm going to move to LA. And then I took your online course a couple more times and met some awesome people, most of whom I know now in person. It's so cool. And then I attended your seminar in New York while I was still on the East Coast, just to go on how SMFA, you and I intersected. So I got to hang out with you in New York, and that was super special and super fun, and met some other really cool ninjas.
Another really good class. Yeah.
And so then after a meeting in New York, the 6 weeks to LA online program came about, and I took that twice while I was working crew in Charlotte, North Carolina. And basically through that program, I began building a move to LA, which didn't happen on the deadline I originally wanted it to, but it did happen. And I did move across the country on a one-way ticket on an Amtrak to Los Angeles. Never having been to LA. I'd never been to LA. I still live in the same apartment that I had never seen. But through 6 weeks to LA, I was like, okay, this is where I want to live. I know commercial real estate. I want to live near the CVS. I want to live near Whole Foods, park, library.
Like, gotta have a 24-hour CVS nearby or Rite Aid.
Oh, absolutely. Or, you know, if all else fails, there's a CVS. So there's somewhere to hang out. And so, yeah, I moved here September 29th, 2012 on an Amtrak. It took 4 days. And yeah, it was, I still remember it.
I remember hearing from you while you were on the train, texts or emails or a little bit of both, and that
masterclass.
And that whole journey while you were on the train just was, it was really kind of exciting, because so many people pick up and do make the big move, whether it's to LA or any other larger market. When they pick up and make the big move, you know, they're doing it on their own, and they're on a quick flight or it's on a quick trek. And the fact that yours was days of this experience actually allowed us to kind of participate and cheer you on in making your time to get here. It was really exciting. And I love that you celebrate the specific date, and like, you've got the anniversary, and I mean, you fucking did it. You made your baggage small enough that you could make the trip out, and so far so good. Tell us about some of the things that have been happening while you've been in LA, and some things that you're excited about, if you want to promote anything.
Okay. So, well, I've been in LA. I got to LA and I felt very confident in the business of acting. I was lucky enough to know where I wanted to start studying because I had read At Left Brain Turn Right, Anthony Mindel's book. And so I audited, or not, yes, I audited at AMAW on Melrose the first week I moved here, and then left halfway through and said, oh, that's how you sign up, is first come, first serve. I left and went home and signed up. And so I studied there, and then I met an amazing teacher who I still study with now, and amazing people there and a community there that also crossed over with SMFA community, which was super cool. But I basically moved to LA and I invested a lot of my time in craft, because in the Southeast, I have a unique background in terms of training, because I've had on-set experience more so than most people from my crew work in North Carolina. Or not more so than most people. More, how about, it was a great opportunity in North Carolina when I got to work below the line, but got to see, this is the dedication it takes. I learned how to be a professional on set.
And for people who don't know what below the line means, what were you actually doing?
I was a stand-in, and I was a stand-in for one of the leads on Homeland, and it was amazing experience. In the Southeast, standing in is very different than it is in Los Angeles. Like, I did not do extra work because I was just part of the camera crew. We worked very closely with everyone there. And I mean, I took the job very seriously, and I was listening to your bestie the winner interview, and she was talking about investing in training and basically how it's interesting that people, she talked about something to do with on-camera work, and people who book a lot have a lot of training and craft. And I'm sort of jumping around, but basically that experience working on Homeland as a stand-in, I learned how to hit marks without ever looking down. I got used to 16 to 18 hour days. I could memorize things very quickly. I learned what a dirty over the shoulder was. I mean, that kind of stuff really turns me on. It's really cool now because the DP on Homeland we worked with is actually now nominated for an Emmy right now. So yay, go him, which is really cool. That was really cool to see. And it was just a really special group of people who I worked with. One of my closest friends, she in LA now, she worked with me as a stand-in, and she now lives here too, which is cool. So yeah, I moved to LA and I had a bunch of on-set experience and I had a very good idea from modeling and from working as a stand-in about cameras and professional set etiquette and basically just the life of a working actor. And I also got to watch amazing actors and learn from them, which led me to the craft in LA. And because a lot of the people I look up to as actors have a very solid theater background, have a very solid craft background. And where I study now at the New Collective in Los Angeles with Victor Villerhauser, he's amazing. He got me to, or didn't get me to, I fell in love with craft, and I do owe it to Victor. processed jollies. And I'm going to totally admit it. I moved to LA and I thought I was going to be a fame whore. I thought that I wanted to be an actor because I wanted to be any actor, or I just wanted to whatever. And finding out that sort of the things that I value and invest in, which is learning, and maybe money is not yielding off of that immediately. That's where my investment has gone into craft while I've lived in LA. And so just recently, actually just finished, I starred and produced in Cowboy Mouth as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Awesome.
At the New Collective where I study. And that, it was an awesome fit just because I got to do it where I study, which was comfortable, but also it was the, as a producer, the perfect atmosphere for the play. And yeah, it was a really neat opportunity because through my knowledge of typing and branding, I was able to figure out through my vocal coach, this would be effortless for you. It may make no sense to anyone else. To me, it's always made sense. If anyone's not familiar with Cowboy Mouth, it's by Sam Shepard and punk rock goddess Patti Smith, who is amazing. And yeah, so that just happened. And
what's the biggest thing you learned from creating your own theater performance? I mean, since you did act as producer on this, what have you learned about all that?
Well, I did end up hiring a co-producer because as the lead actress, I needed to not worry about a dent in the wall and insurance during rehearsal because that's not professional and that's not my problem during rehearsal. And I learned a lot about balance and a lot about, you know, the show must go on and letting go. And sort of for me, I did have a really, really hard time with it, as I know you know, because we spoke and you asked me, well, why are you doing this, Kate? Why are you doing this? And I said, I just don't feel like quitting. And that's sort of who I am. My journey to LA sort of encompasses that idea
for sure.
Too.
For sure.
Which I thank you for planting that seed in me of just like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go for it. And for me, I approach, the thing that I learned was, what is the worst thing that can happen? And the value of putting yourself out there, because I am very analytical. And I was drawn to the play ultimately because it was about, for me, someone finding their artistic voice. And I had never identified with myself as an artist. And that was something I wanted to express. And I was able to do it through this play, through this character, and live it as myself at the same time by sort of just diving all in and knowing that I didn't care if one person showed up or we had to kick people out. But that's Patti Smith is very about that. So like, knowing my type and brand helped also just be keeping me in that mindset of just choosing spirit versus ego. Mm-hmm. 'Cause my producer side, I noticed in the beginning, was very ego driven. And I ended up with the best team of people, the best co-star ever. I just got really lucky with the group of people who decided to show up and play. And for me, that was a really neat opportunity to see that if you believe in something enough, other people are going to show up too and rally around it.
So, Kate, something that you mentioned a couple times already in this interview that I want to touch on is the sense of community and these people mm-hmm. that'll come together and support something that you believe in, and they'll believe in you. I know you're a pretty hardcore introvert. Can you talk a little bit about how someone who would rather probably stay in bed, stay at home, not actually be out in the world with a lot of people, does so much that actually involves the community? Because I'm sure there are people listening that would find that helpful.
Well, for instance, right now on Blab, I am not the most eloquent speaker. To anyone who would ever feel the need to feel perfect, aka every single human, we're all human. Get the fuck over it. What do you want? Do you want to show up? Yeah, you probably fucking do. If your gut is telling you you do, don't tell yourself otherwise, and don't let anybody else tell you otherwise. Because with my move to LA, I had people tell me no. With this project, I had people say that's very ambitious, way months before I did it. And I was like, and we ended up putting it together in 6 weeks at the end because we had to recast. And to people who are more introverted, I would say, just be brave enough to show up, because what is the worst thing that can happen? Someone can say you suck. I don't believe in looking at reviews, or that's a lie. See, it's you got to show up and be able to have a bullshit filter on yourself, which is a muscle you have to build. As an actor, as a human, I mean, it's all cross curriculum. You have to just get down with you and being you. And that's where being introverted, the typing process actually helped me, because I like to think the internet isn't real. So when we did, So I went on Periscope came out. I was all about.
Oh yeah, you were on there.
Literally, my
many times a day.
I got drunk off cake pops on Periscope, dude. Like, things went down. I was singing. I danced to Shawn Mendes. Like, Mellow Yellow showed up. Which
was a bath story.
I got into spoken word. Oh no, tub talk. Yeah, I Periscope from my bathtub. There were shoe scopes. I mean, it was really fun, just because you and Keith had said at The Escape, like, just keep creating. And I was like, what else can't we think of? Or like,
it's all fair game.
We can create.
It's all fair game.
Everything. And like, there is an audience for it. That's what Periscope showed me as well. Periscope also showed me and gave me confidence in showing up as myself, not how I think I should be, which I think is what a lot of people fall into, especially in Hollywood, or can get defeated by. And I'm going to speak specifically, or actually, I'm going to say it's not just specifically to women, but to anyone about physicality or intelligence, or, you know, it's a town of nepotism, so you you need connections. Or if you're going to chase something that hard, or if you're efforting that much for something that's not organically you, detachment is sexy.
Like, true.
So to introverts, I would just say, don't be afraid to show up, because like we recently talked about, it's not, one thing is not the end of your career. One thing is not the end of your life. And that's a beautiful lesson from SMFA, long haul journey. And I know taking a train out here, I really had to get down with it. It is a long haul.
Literally.
And literally, yes, everything, you know, has to have a physical, you know, you have to physically live it out. You have to feel it. Just, I mean, ask yourself what you're so afraid of. And fear is a very powerful thing. And so is the mind, but everything is a choice. That's what I believe. And if anyone here has not read The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield, get on it. It will call you out on everything. And just be open. Be open to hearing different opinions and different things. Definitely prepare. Prepare and then let it go. It's like life is like acting, except don't act in your real life. please don't do that. I just really encourage people who are introverted to show up, to fuck up, and to keep fucking up, because it kind of feels really good. I mean, pain, it does equal pleasure, but joy is internal. That's what I'm saying. So no one can rob you of your joy.
Really nice. Really nice. Tell me how you look fear in the face when it actually starts staring you down. What do you do? What do you do?
Keep calm and fuck it. I just have to, for me, I'll admit I was nervous to even be on Blab right now, but you have to just show up for yourself because you're worth it. Everyone's worth it. You are enough. And I know I still struggle with that. And I do believe I am enough. I believe everyone's enough because we all are. And I think that as an SMFA theme, again, we're creating the Hollywood we want to be a part of. If we believe so negatively about ourselves, how can we empower others to show up who might change the, we might change the game for one another. And I don't doubt we would if we just, you know, say we're human and this is who I am. And maybe I don't do certain things as well as other things. But we all have something to contribute. We all have a creative side. And basically, honor your inner child. Mm. Like, my inner child didn't give a shit. And that's sort of what I look to when I look at fear. Is just like, I have a quote from Emily Fletcher. It's a... relax, nothing is under control.
It's perfect.
Because I love that.
Yeah, it's great.
Because, I mean, meteor. You know, a meteor could hit right now and we could all just not be here. You know, we're all, not to get dark, but sorry, guys.
It's on.
Not sorry. It's my party. I can die if I want to. Yes, exactly. You know, for real. Like, we're all, like, YOLO. That phrase is horrible, but I'm just going to say it. Like, jump in. You'll get acclimated to the water. I don't doubt it. And there's buoys. There's people out there that you'll find who are in the water who maybe feel the same way. And that's what I hope someone listening to this can be like, that girl sounded whatever. Or whatever, and was like, I could produce and star in a show that really spoke to me too, and create a really amazing piece of art and share it with the world as well.
So
even if I'm afraid,
and especially if you're afraid,
especially if you're afraid.
Yeah.
I think, yeah,
Tell us how anybody listening can get in touch with you or can keep tabs on you. Are you big on social media? I know you mentioned Periscope back in its first year, 2015. Where can we find you these days if we want to stay plugged in on all things Kate Mathis?
www.katemathis.com.
And Kate will be there. And spell Kate, because for people listening on iTunes.
Oh,
yeah.
I take this for granted, man. Okay, Kate is spelled C-A-I-T. Kate, not cat. No. Kate, C-A-I-T.
Got it.
There we go.
KateMathis.com for all things.
At Kate Mathis, I attempt to tweet. It was not big when I... I'm working on my Twitter skills, but not proactively. I am on Twitter though. And, Instagram, I really like Instagram because of the artistic aspect of it. I like photography and, just being able to sort of share things that reflect what I'm into. Mm-hmm. Outside of acting and so you can find me on Instagram, Facebook.
So Facebook was a no.
and I eventually Facebook is just
I know, yawn.
Well, Facebook, you will not find me on Facebook at Kate. But also Periscope. I am not on Periscope anymore because it no longer felt authentic to myself. So I'm not on Periscope anymore, and I don't know if I will be blabbing much more.
Can we talk about choosing things that feel authentic?
Yeah, let's totally.
I totally cut you off there. So finish what you were saying. When you said that, it just didn't feel authentic anymore. I'm like, what's your criteria for where you invest your time and your energy? Because there's so much noise out there about how actors have to have a social media presence, and you're flipping the bird as I'm saying this
bird
twice.
Sugar's coming out of the barn, as my dad would say.
Okay, beautiful. Great. I want to know, how do you then choose to balance being on social media, but in a way that actually feels authentic to you, and turn away from the noise that comes at you about, well, you have to have this many followers and you have to have a YouTube channel with this many subscribers and all the blah, 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 blah.
One, believe the internet is not real.
that helps, right?
Two. The internet isn't real. This is just all fake. I definitely have learned through experience, because moving to LA from a minor market, there's all this take this class. Yeah. And then I saw there is literally an acting studio on every other corner. Uh-huh. And I have the same people. I follow my gut. I follow what I think feels right and feels good. And even if it's not the popular choice, I honor what feels good to me. And it was so, and that's how I ended up producing a play, is because theater felt good to me because of the writing quality and the type of work that I want to pursue, or that I do pursue. All right, guys, it's getting really messy.
I love that your alarms go off at every couple of minutes and you have all different sounds.
Let it all go. Let all the noise go, because you can become a research addict. And this goes back to the introvert thing. You can have all the research and knowledge about things in the world, but if you don't show up and give yourself and allot yourself an actual experience, it's hard to learn what you like and what feels good to you. And also, yeah, you can't compare yourself to other people, but also I would only compare yourself to yourself on your best day. Like, don't compare yourself yesterday to today. I don't see comparison as a healthy tool. That's why I find it neat, yeah, to say, look how far I've come or whatever, but that doesn't motivate me. So with eliminating the noise on social media, or you have to have this many followers, well, if you want fame, I would recommend looking into reality TV or buying an Instagram app and buying followers. If that's what motivates you and drives you, is in a mask to the world that I organically, in quotes, have this many fans. But what it's why, if you place value on having people validate you, then yeah, that's going to be a hard situation. Or you place value on what one coach tells you about yourself, or one person tells you, you know, you need to do this. So I think you have to get really honest with yourself about what you know about yourself to be true. And when the tough love is, you know, when you can say, okay, that resonates with me, it's not tough love, because, okay, that's a truth. And now how can I work on that? Or how can I figure out how I want to be a part of something that maybe you see somebody else doing something and you're like, I should be doing that. Or like, even with like red carpet things and like all that kind of stuff. You and I talked about, does it turn you on?
I think that's my new baseline for everything I do.
Are you turned on by
it? Does it turn me on? Like, I'm doing more of it. Does it not? I'm done.
Does it not? I'm done. Amen. Like that, but that's genius though, because that's, yeah, it just, if you're miserable doing something because your parents told you you should do it, or even it was your dream when you were 12. Well, what is your dream now? So you have to constantly be checking in with yourself. And in this social media driven, you know, world on the internet where it's a mass noise, information overload, you can get lost in the fray. And I would just say, I mean, I know you had your internet and phone and technology unplug recently on your cruise. I am a big fan of turning, I used to call it electronic hiatus. My friends would be like, oh, did you go on electronic hiatus? I was like, yes. As my phone keeps beeping.
Perfect.
I'm like, how annoying. Let's just like turn this thing off. And so definitely in a professional and responsible manner, I definitely will unplug from my phone, social media. That's how I stay balanced in the noise. Also, yeah, I like the library, reading. Yeah, I also meditate.
I meditate twice a day.
I practice Vedic meditation, so, which I learned in LA, which was really cool. And I fell into that following my gut. And yeah, it's been awesome for me. I just say, keep finding things that feel good to you.
Awesome. One of the things that I say to actors always is we spend so much time saying, you know, go with your gut when it comes to the creative process, and your gut is what guides you toward the types of roles that you play and how to bring these characters and these stories to life. But then when it comes to the business side of things, we so often doubt ourselves and we second guess and we're like, and I go, why? That gut that is so brilliant to guide you to your best storytelling is also brilliant to guide you toward balance in this business. And I think you've found that getting here and connecting with your community and meditation and finding your producer brand, which is phenomenal. I'm so fucking proud of you for having put on this show, for seeing it through, and all the things that you learned in doing it. And then, of course, all the things that you've shared here. Kate, can you give one last shout out to remind everybody where to find you online if they want to connect with you going forward, please?
Okay. Twitter and Instagram. I am at Kate, CAITMATHIS. And then www.katemathis.com.
Awesome. Kate Mathis, you are splendid, my gold star.
Well, thank you. Gold stars to everyone. Yeah. And just be brave and just fuck it, guys.
Fuck it.
All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.